Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity. United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
And I believe we worship the same God.
Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
You would think that having begun so well back in the 16th century, a place like Germany would have endured with its rich heritage of not only the Christian faith and churches, but also of a Christian or a Christianized culture. How is it that if you go back 500 years, you see a Germany that is the epicenter of the Protestant Reformation? And then forward 500 years and find a Germany where few are in church on Sunday morning. Churches are more like museums. And Luther, the great Lutheran reformer, is considered a national hero, but very few understand his theology. We're going to be talking about Christianity in Germany here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday, October the 29th. Our call-in number and our email address for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be talking with Uwe Simonetto about Christianity in Germany, and then Dr. Martin Noland will join us. We'll talk about purgatory, that invented state or place where many of the world's Christians believe they will be for millennia before entering eternal life after bodily death. And then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about the anti-gay marriage ballot initiative in the state of California, I believe. And finally, Dr. Stephen Hine will join us. Is there an unforgivable sin? Jesus says there's a blasphemy that is not forgiven. So how does it work? We'll talk about that a little later in the program. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest, an international journalist, and director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks to call me.
How is it that Germany, once the epicenter of the Lutheran Reformation, is centuries later, some might say barely Christian, but certainly not considered either culturally or religiously a very Christian nation?
One correction there, Todd. Germany was the epicenter of the Reformation in the 16th century, but even in Luther's days, most of Germany was pagan or crypto-pagan, and Luther complained about it bitterly. He had dire predictions for Germany's future and for the punishment God would mete out to Germany for not accepting the gospel. This is one thing. Then, of course, there was a period of the Lutheran Orthodoxy when indeed Germany became a thriving Christian country, both on the Roman Catholic side and on the Lutheran side. But then we have suffered the consequences of the Enlightenment and the post-Enlightenment and the French Revolution and the neo-paganization of Germany coming from Tom Paine here in the United States via left Hegelian philosopher Ludwig Feuerbach in Germany, and that impacted straight into the Nazi era, the neo-paganism of the Nazis on the one hand, and the godlessness of the communist Marxist-Leninists on the other hand. So there has been a long line. First of all, the situation had always been pretty wobbly in Luther's days. I think this applies to other parts of the world as well. I think the case could be made that it applies, in a sense, even today to the United States, where 40% of all church members go to church on a given Sunday. But we have now seen how Germany has declined to the point that in Wittenberg itself, that is Luther's Vatican, as it were, you only have about 10% Lutherans, or Protestants left, not necessarily Lutherans, and a few more Catholics, and that's it.
I've noticed this before. We've talked about it. When I traveled to Germany some years back and did the typical tours, you know, you do the Luther House, you do the Castle Church and the various sites in Wittenberg. It was interesting to see that Luther is regarded in that city as a national hero, really more a father of the nation kind of a thing, kind of a Thomas Jefferson corollary for us Americans, but not so much in terms of his theology.
Well, when you were in Wittenberg, don't forget you are in a city that had you had, in a sense, a religious lobotomy performed on the population by the first by the Nazis, and then by the communists. Both the Nazis and the communists quote revered Luther for their odd reasons, which were had nothing to do with clearing up the gospel for them, but other issues. But at the same time, they destroyed the Lutheran faith thoroughly in their own. In their own town, especially Wittenberg. Wittenberg is one of the most de-Christianized cities in Germany. You find much more Christian parts of Germany elsewhere, specifically in West Germany. But this is the case. Now, Luther is, of course, you can revere Luther for a number of things. Lots of dirty aphorisms were attributed to Luther. That's what dirty little boys did at boarding school when I was there. You could also say that Luther, you must say that Luther has created the German language that we speak now in all its beauty by uniting it in translating the Bible. That is, he is revered for, and therefore he made Germany, gave Germany its place in the concert of nations. So he's revered for that. The communists might have revered him up to a point for being a quote revolutionary, although they revered Thomas Münzer much more because he sided with the peasants in the peasants' uprising in the early 16th century. But in the you're absolutely right, Todd. The Germans, and including the media, praise Luther for what Luther has actually never been. They don't praise him as the humble theologian and the pastor who was driven by the gospel.
So talk a bit, if you would, in the minutes before our break, about an era that you were familiar with in your youth, and that is the communist era. You've mentioned here a little bit. What exactly happened to Germany, and especially to the Christian faith in those parts of Germany post-war occupied by the communists?
Well, you remained a Christian. You were not allowed to complete high school. You remained a Christian. You did not participate in the. You underwent confirmation proceedings and not the substitute, which was called Jugendweihe or Blessing of the Youth. It was a communist thing. You would be discriminated against. You were subject to arrest under certain circumstances. If you were an active Christian, you could wind up in jail and worse. You had no virtually no career opportunities whatsoever, especially not in the administration or in the military. Christians were banned from there. By the way, that also was the case in the Nazi era. The SS, which perpetrated all these heinous crimes, again, would not accept any Christians, contrary to what some people say. There was an analogy here. When I was a child, when I was 9, 10 years old, we had new teachers that were trained in something like 6 months courses, and they were communists. And we were 80 in a class at elementary school, a unity school, or sort of comprehensive school system they had. And there were three of us in that class who were still actively Christian, that is, going to Sunday services, going to Bible study, and that sort of thing. Three of us out of 80. And every morning, the teacher told the class, "There are three Christian swine among you. After class, beat them to their senses." So we learned how to run. I was rarely beaten up because I'm still pretty good on my feet, thanks to that training I received then. You had cases where a pastor protested the discrimination against young Christians by burning himself to death. Actually, two pastors did that, all of which is now forgotten. And you had a lot of people from the United States, intellectuals, including people like Angela Davis, who sort of went to East Germany thinking that this was true paradise and the truly democratic country and a legitimate successor to Nazi Germany.
Let's take a break here. It's Wednesday, October the 29th. We'll respond to your phone calls and to your email on the issue of Christianity in Germany for the next 10 minutes with Uwe Simonetto. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a donation today. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also contribute online, issuesetc.org, a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Christopher, Perry Anderson, Mary McCleary, Geraldine Gaffney, Sarah Green, Kevin Schneider, Cindy Schneider, Stephen Billings, Michael Barr, and Pastor Brent Klein. Thanks for your support. We're talking about Christianity in Germany. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, an international journalist and director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org. As you prepare for church on Sunday morning, many churches are going to be celebrating All Saints. It's kind of this week-long celebration. When the calendar works out the way it does of Reformation, the beginning of the week and All Saints at the end of the week, well, a great thing to do is consider talking to those you go to church with about issues, etc. A great conversation starter. Well, if you could get it into your church bulletin, what we've been talking about this week so that others can listen, you can. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, and you will find a ready-made and weekly updated church bulletin advertisement for Issues Etc. Talks about what we've been talking about and tells people how they can listen to Issues Etc. either live or on demand. issuesetc.org, click promote. Uwe, what happened to the churches, not just the congregations, but to the many, many churches that had been established, Christian churches in Germany during and after the time of communism?
Well, that's a curious thing. Let's talk about East, because East Germany is really a different issue from West Germany. In East Germany, where the churches, or a minority of the churches, had been instrumental in bringing down the communist government, the whole thing seemed to collapse. The churches became state-related churches again. Members had to pay church tax, so many of them were not strong enough in their faith to support their faith financially. So they just left. Many of the churches, including in Wittenberg, Luther's town, sort of followed their West German brethren in preaching to the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the town, which was leftist, instead of now persisting in preaching the gospel. For example, last year's Reformation service at the Schlosskirche, the castle church in Wittenberg, which is the center, the epicenter of the Lutheran Reformation, Pastor Schorlemmer preached on the need for a minimum wage. The need for a minimum wage, without actually once mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, in a Reformation Day service. I mean, it went all the way of liberal theology, which in a sense became no more than sociology. And that is the result. Now, this is not, you do find in Eastern Germany as well as in the West, areas where the Platzregen, as Luther called it, the cloudburst of the Holy Spirit occurs, and you suddenly have thriving and lively Christian congregations. But by and large, the East German churches are doing badly. They're doing even worse by abandoning the Lutheran confession. One of the oldest Lutheran churches in Germany, the state-related church of Thuringia, will merge with the Union Church, which is really a Prussian colonial church imposed by the Prussians in the 19th century on the occupied Saxon territories. Will merge with them, and in their joint constitution, they will no longer mention the Lutheran confessions. And this is as they celebrate with much aplomb the upcoming quincentenary of the Reformation. They celebrate everything with recipes for beer and wine and food and fish and God knows what, and Luther jokes and Luther this and Luther that. But what really matters, namely, the Lutheran confessions, is being abandoned. There are pockets clearly in Germany, not necessarily in the East, where things are going well. But by and large, I think the Lutheran confessions are being preached better here in the United States than in Germany.
Is there anything of a confessional revival taking place, even a small one, in Germany?
Yes,
about a minute
here. Yes, there is. There are pockets, very strong pockets, those in northern, central, and southern Germany, where there is a revival. There are confessional groups of pastors throughout the country, and the much younger generation. We just here during German Days, we spoke about this the other day. We had a young pastor from Berlin. Berlin is actually a union church, who is young, he's 40, just celebrated his 40th birthday, he said, we are much at my age, or much more confessional than the 50 or 60 years were. And he said the much younger graduates of divinity schools are much more faithful. And the curious thing is, where you have faithful preachers in the pulpit, you usually also have burgeoning congregations. I mean, that always goes hand in glove. So not all is lost. And then there are new theology professors out of all places in the city of Hamburg, who is bishop, who is a woman, is pressed. She is such a heretic. I mean, she would defy even being burned at the stake, because that's too good. I mean, it's just horrible, that woman. Yet in her church, of which she has lost more than one-third of her membership because of her foolish theologies, in her church, you have now, in the state university, confessional professors who teach good, sound, and healthy Lutheran theology. So it goes both ways. But, I mean, the thrust at the moment is still towards neo-paganism and hedonism and all that other stuff.
Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. You can find a link to the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Uwe, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Todd.
I think Luther's famous for observing of his German people at the time. And remember, this is before Germany's really a nation per se. It's a confederation of various states and princedoms. He talks about the German people, and he bemoans the fact that the gospel has come like a thundercloud, like a rain shower over them, and is raining currently down, but he worries that they will not appreciate the gospel as it's there. And he warns the German people, if they're obstinate, if they're so stubborn as to refuse to drink in the gospel as it falls down upon them, then like a rain cloud moves on over the face of the landscape, so will the gospel to someone else. It's instructive for all of us, especially us Americans who think of ourselves as almost quintessentially Christian. If we refuse to hear the gospel, it will move on to someone else, someplace else.